Today's reading is Joshua 2, 1 through 16, found on page 332 in the Pew Bible. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. "Go look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up to them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan, and as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord, your God, is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death." "Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. "If you don't tell what we're doing here, what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land." So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, "Go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Darla. So, I don't know if you've ever heard a sermon on Rahab. Well, you will today. Rahab is truly an unlikely hero. And she plays a key role in the conquest of Jericho. Her, yes, Rahab, plays a key role. Jericho was a land that God had promised to his people. Yes, God had promised Jericho to the Israelites. The only problem was that other people were already living there. But who owns the whole world? God does. And the big challenge was that Jericho was a city surrounded by huge walls. So Joshua sent two spies into Jericho to scout it out. The spies were welcomed, the Bible says, at the home of a prostitute named Rahab, who saves them from certain death by hiding them and misdirecting the soldiers who were pursuing them. Let me pause there for a moment. How many times, I think, as I'm reading this, how many times do we have an idea of how God should do things, especially when we're praying? So God had promised them the land. Why didn't God just send a plague and killed everybody there and said, "Hey, go, there's a land I promise you"? Why would God do it this way, through a prostitute? The ways of God are none of your business. God is wise. God is always right. And I'm talking about not just as you see things in the Bible that don't quite make sense, but I'm talking about this when you see things in your lives that don't quite make sense. Why is God doing it that way? Or why isn't God doing it this way? You see, sometimes we think that we need to be God's advisors. How would you like to be God's advisor? You think God needs you as an advisor? How many times have you done it, though? Saying to God, I think you should do it this way. Now, it doesn't mean you don't tell God how you feel or you don't pour your heart out before God. But think about that. Like what? Send two spies? Their lives are at risk? Aren't you the all-powerful, almighty God? Why don't you just send fire like you did with Elijah and consume all the enemies of God and make it easy for your people? Oh, my dear friends, how much we have to learn about God. He moves in mysterious ways. And what does the Bible say? My ways are the same as your ways? Is that what it says? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are the same as your thoughts? Is that what it says? My thoughts are not your thoughts. So who's the one who needs to adjust? God to us or us to God? And that's a lifetime process. I'm still not there. I'm better. But I still want to be God's advisor at times. And then I have to repent and say, who do I think I am? How he should do things. We bow down. One of my professors in seminary said, when you don't understand God, you bow down before the mystery that he presents before you. And you say, I praise you, God, even though I don't understand you. That's why I like Job. When his wife said, look at all that's happening to you, just curse God and die. He said, oh, like a foolish woman you have spoken. Although he slay me, yet I will praise him. Because he didn't have to understand God. But he bowed down before the mystery. So yes, Rahab played a very important part in God's plan to give his people the land. And yes, Rahab was a prostitute. But some call Rahab the protector. You'd like that, Susan. Rahab the protector. Rahab was a Canaanite woman. The Canaanites were evil to the core. They thought, if you study the Canaanites, they came up with new ways of doing evil. She was a Canaanite woman from Jericho who is known today for her courage. The courage she had to hide the Israelite spies who went to explore the land God had promised to them. Rahab is known for the faith she expressed when she defied the orders of the king and hid the spies in her home. By doing this, she was putting her life at risk and the life of her family at risk. Many of you would probably, you know, have the courage to put your life on the line, but would you put your family's lives on the line? She did. She's not the only one who would have died if she got caught. Her entire family would have perished. She did it. It takes a lot of courage. The story shows us that God rewards her for her courage and kindness. And after the battle, of course, Rahab leaves prostitution behind. And guess what? Joins the people of God. She becomes part of the people of God. Her act of courage and faith in God landed her as one of the heroes of the faith listed in Hebrews 11, along with Abraham, with David, and with all the people that the heroes of the faith that are listed in Hebrews 11. And as Susan reminded us today, Rahab became the great-great-great-grandmother of your Savior and my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How would you like to have a prostitute in your lineage? Jesus does. Rahab. And he's proud of it. So, how did this happen? I mean, think about it. How did this unlikely hero becomes a part of the heroes of the faith that you and I read about today? Well, you remember last week I preached about the sin of unbelief. Let me highlight what's at the core of her act of obedience. Let me highlight what's at the core of her courage. Last week I preached about the sin of unbelief and how it affects us. This woman, this prostitute, shows what faith in God and faith in who God is can do. The opposite of unbelief is what? Faith, right? So in verses 9 and 10 of the passage that Darla read today, we hear her say this to the spies. I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. She has heard and she believed. Pay attention to that. She heard and she believed. Do you hear and believe? Do you? Do you hear and believe? She believed in what God had done, and she believed in who God was, and she believed in what God was about to do. She had no doubt. She believed that God would do what he said he would do. That's faith, my friends. That's the opposite of unbelief. That's faith. A faith that God rewarded. But make note of this. She wasn't rewarded simply for believing. Am I contradicting myself? No. That's why you need to study the scriptures without any interruptions. Study it carefully, slowly. Read it 10, 20, 30 times, the same passage. Read it out loud. She wasn't rewarded simply for believing. That's not enough. What? What are you saying, Pastor? Stay with me. She wasn't rewarded simply for believing. She was rewarded because her belief led to what? Action. That's true belief. I'll prove it to you from the scriptures. James 2:14 and 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, James says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is what? Dead. Wow. That's pretty strong. It can't just be words. It has to be coupled with actions, my friends. That's why the church is where the church is at today. No power. The world is mocking the church. The world is seeing no difference in the way that the people of God live versus the way the world lives. Why? Because they claim to believe in a God that they do not walk with. Because they claim to believe in the wisdom of God that they do not put into practice. Because they keep justifying it by saying, I'm just a sinner, I'll get there. Because there is no discipline and there is no expectation of being any better tomorrow than the way they are today. Because we have become lukewarm. And the Bible says, I would rather you're hot or cold. Wake up. God has called us to a life of devotion and a faith that is seen in our actions. In the same way, James says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Let me go on, because James goes on about this subject. James 2:21-26. Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? He believed. He still had to come and sacrifice his son. Action. You see, he goes on to say that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called what? God's friend. You see, it goes on to say that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab, James says, the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? And then he says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Finally, James closed this topic in his letter, and he says, my friends, even the demons believe and shudder. The difference is they don't do anything about what they believe in. So the demons believe, but they don't act upon they believe. They know. They know the truth about God. So even the demons believe and shudder. We believe and obey. For faith without works is dead. So let me summarize what we learned for this passage as I end. No matter how sinful our times have been in the past, no matter how sinful our past is, no matter how much of a coward we have been in the past, no matter how much we have sinned, no matter how bad we have been, no matter how much we had to welcome evil in our lives, God can still use us today. We can still choose to live right today and do the right thing today. Today is a new day. The past is behind, under the cross. Our present and our future are ahead of us. Number two, no matter how much we've sinned and how many mistakes we've made, God can turn our life around and transform us into something beautiful, a beautiful vessel that can be used for his glory and honor today. The past is in the past. Rahab was a prostitute, but after her statement of faith and action, she left that life and served God. Third, No matter how much of a coward you have been, no matter how scared you are today or intimidated you feel by anything of your past, present, or future, you can still do the right thing and bring honor to God in your life, in your finances, in your friendships, in your relationships, in your marriages, in your relationship with your children, with your neighbors. You can still make your life count for God and for His glory. Let us make a commitment to live a faith that is supported by our actions. Shall we do that? Let's pray. Father, we have no excuse. When you give us the example of Rahab as one of the heroes of the faith, you're shouting to us, it doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you have not done right. It doesn't matter how many people you've hurt or how you wasted your life. What matters is that you make a different choice today as you live a life that is honoring to the kingdom of God and to His purposes. So, Father, we do that today. We thank you for Rahab. And yes, we will meet her one day in heaven and we'll have a long conversation with her. And she will smile and tell us all about this moment in her life when she was on earth. And we will meet Abraham and talk to him about how difficult it was to support his faith by walking his son down to the place where he was about to die for your sake, O God. Help us, Lord, to live lives that honor you with whatever days, weeks, months, or years we have left to live. Father, may our hearts be found as David's heart, a man that pleased you, a man after your own heart. We pray for your blessing and the strength and the courage to live in this way by the power of your Holy Spirit, whom we turn to right now, asking for your help, Holy Spirit. We ask for your blessing, Father, as we continue to grow and come out of lukewarmness, and as we become all that you called us to be. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.